Geocentric, episode 23.
Larry's day off.
It's a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known.
What danger is alive?
Nuclear combat, toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Geocentric
is developing into a very bad habit.
You tell me that this sucker is nuclear?
Inconceivable!
With John Newman,
we have an obligation to fight them until they are banished from the page of time.
Not a finger!
And Nate Long.
I don't have a really good feeling about what's to come.
Help! Help! I'm being betrayed!
Welcome to Geocentric.
Good food, man.
Some serious turkey.
Fried turkey.
Some serious turkey.
Stuffing.
Turkification going on.
Mashed potatoes and gravy is good being in the South on Thanksgiving.
That's right, that's right. In defense of Thanksgiving, to all those of you who would tear it down on grounds that the pilgrims began to murder Indians not too long thereafter.
Maybe you're right.
If you, that may have happened, but so freaking what? What Thanksgiving meant at the time it was held is what it still means today, which is that we are here together, and it is because of our cooperation that we survive and have this abundant meal of plenty, which Nate and I are partaking of as,
Pretending to, as we speak.
Why would you give that away?
Because that's weird. I don't eat Thanksgiving dinner with you, you freak. Everyone's going to be like, what the crap?
Anyway, the point being, if it never happened, we wouldn't be able to have this awesome holiday where we eat just tons of food. Anyways, I'm John.
I'm Nate.
And this is how you get involved. 206-337-1504 is the number. 206-337-1504. Geocentric at inbox.com. Bringthemagic.com/geocentric. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Nate is...
the PR guy.
And I am AnthroScience.
So throw in the app before that and we'll hit you guys up. And
that's right.
Talk about some cool stuff.
So, we're not going to spend too much time because we are eating our pretend Thanksgiving dinner. But we have a couple things we want to talk about, and they do have to do, of course, with this wonderful holiday, Thanksgiving. And our first topic is the top... is it which one? The signs?
Yes.
Top 10 signs you've eaten...
No! Not that one first.
That's why...
You can't give it to them that... they're not ready for it. They're not ready for it.
Teaser. Top 10 myths about Thanksgiving.
That's right. So here's the thing. We have a lot of preconceived notions about the history behind Thanksgiving. We've been taught a lot of stuff. And just so you know, this is from the History News Network. So fact checkers out there, go out there. And if any of this is wrong, hit us up. Let us know. We're just going to give you the information that we found quite interesting.
We might skip one or two on the basis of keeping our podcast under the clean label.
Okay.
If you're really interested and that really like gets you, oh, I wonder what they're going to skip, then you can go to hnn.us/articles/406.html. All
right, so we'll give you some cool ones. Myth number one, the pilgrims held the first Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's not true.
Nope. Well, according to this, to see what the first Thanksgiving was like, you would have to go to Texas.
Really?
That's right. The first Thanksgiving took place in San Elizario, a community near El Paso, in 1598, which was 23 years before the Pilgrims Festival.
Wow.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Basically, good stuff that happened.
Yeah, let's not read the whole
we don't have to read the whole history behind it.
Myth number two, Thanksgiving was about family. If by Thanksgiving you have in mind the Pilgrim Festival, forget about it being a family holiday. Put away your Norman Rockwell paintings. Turn off Bing Crosby. Thanksgiving was a multicultural community event. If it had been about family, the Pilgrims never would have invited the Indians to join them.
Then again, a multicultural community event sounds like just an extended family to me.
Yeah, our family has invited people over for our family occasions on many occasions.
In fact, that is what Thanksgiving is all about. You like invite all kinds of people, and you invite people that maybe don't have a place to go to for Thanksgiving, and there's all kinds of good stuff that goes down. Myth number three, Thanksgiving was about religion.
Who thinks that?
I don't know. there's the whole thing that during Thanksgiving you're supposed to give thanks to God and be thankful for what you have.
Well, yeah, the religious people do that, but I had never incorporated that as part of the whole Thanksgiving thing, like its purpose or anything. Anyways,
well,
go ahead.
Apparently a lot of people think that, right, but right. It goes back to the whole thing that if it was about religion, the Pilgrims would have never actually invited the Indians to join them because they had different religions.
Except if they were trying to convert them, which many religions try to do. I don't know about the guy who wrote this.
Yeah. So, actual Thanksgivings were religious affairs. Whoa. Everybody spent the day praying. Now, see, this is what happened. Thanksgiving was a harvest festival. Actual Thanksgivings were religious affairs, and that was when everyone spent the day praying. But incidentally, these pilgrim Thanksgivings occurred at different times of the year and not just in November. So this Thanksgiving, you know, the actual holiday that we celebrate now isn't necessarily about religions.
Can I ask you a personal question?
No.
It's not so personal that you can't say it on the air. And I'm not making fun of you, but just a legitimate question.
Okay.
Do you vocalize your TH in the word thank?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing this to me.
No, did I hear you doing that?
Thanks?
Yeah.
That's
thanks.
How I say it.
Thanks? Does your whole family do that?
I don't know, but I get made fun of it a lot.
Oh, really?
Not really.
You're the only person I've ever heard do that.
Thanksgiving.
I was wondering where you got it from.
Instead of Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I don't say thanks. Leave me alone.
I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
I wasn't sure if that's what I was hearing.
No, that's actually how I always say it. I was always the different kid.
Well, thanks for answering my question.
No problem.
All right, number four. The Pilgrims ate turkey.
They didn't?
Nope. What did the Pilgrims eat at their Thanksgiving festival? They didn't have corn on the cob, apples, pears, potatoes, or even cranberries. No one knows if they had turkey, although they were used to eating turkey. The only food we know they had for sure was deer. 11? Why is there a random 11 right here? And they didn't eat with a fork. They didn't have forks back then.
Huh.
Is that for real?
Fact checkers,
get on that one. We are skeptical that they didn't have forks at the end of the 1500s.
Myth number five, the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. According to historian George Wilson, who devoted his life to the subject, the story about the rock is all malarkey.
What a thing to devote your life to.
Malarkey?
Yep.
He says that it was all a public relations stunt pulled off by townsfolk to attract attention. Well, in my public relations class, I learned that PR wasn't even around back then. So there's another myth for you.
Fact checkers?
Fact checkers, get on that. Yeah, those guys have a really big load on their backs. The fact checkers out there. The ones that just... You know, don't take everything they hear.
Maybe one
as
of these
truth.
Days will show up on what's that website like factchecker.org or something like
factcheck.org.
that?
Factcheck.org. Yeah. That's a cool site. I've been there. What Willison actually found out is that the Plymouth Rock legend rests entirely on the dubious testimony of Thomas Foncin, a 95-year-old man who told the story more than a century after the Mayflower landed. Unfortunately, not too many people ever heard how he came by the story of Plymouth Rock. Willison's book came out at the end of World War II, and Americans had more on their minds than pilgrims then. So we've all just gone merrily along repeating the same old story as if it's true when it's not.
Oh, that's
And anyway, terrible. The pilgrims didn't land in Plymouth first. They first made landfall at Provincetown. Of course, the people of Plymouth stick by interesting tradition. Tour guides insist that Plymouth Rock is the rock.
The rock. All right, myth number six. Pilgrims lived in log cabins. No pilgrim ever lived in a log cabin.
No way! How could you ever know that? Because, you can't possibly know that.
Because the log cabin did not appear in America until late in the 17th century, which would be the 1600s, when it was introduced by Germans and Swedes. The very term log cabin cannot be found in print until the 1770s.
It came from log cabin.
Log cabinen.
Ich bin log cabin.
I'm a log cabin. Anyways, log cabins were virtually unknown in England at the time the Pilgrims arrived in America. So what kind of dwellings did the Pilgrims inhabit? As you can see if you visit Plymouth Plantation in Massachusetts, the Pilgrims lived in wood clapboard houses made from sawed lumber.
Interesting. Myth number 7, Pilgrims dressed in black.
Wow. This one I was positive about.
Yeah, I know. Not only did they not dress in black, they didn't even wear those funny buckles.
What?
Weird shoes.
You are ruining my holiday.
Or black steeple hats. So how do we get the idea of buckles?
The hats we can do without. The hats we can do without.
So here's how they actually, you know, came by that image.
Let's hear it.
Plymouth Plantation historian James W. Baker explains that in the 19th century, when the popular image of the Pilgrims was formed, buckles served as a kind of emblem of quaintness. That's the reason illustrators gave Santa buckles. Even the blunderbuss.
Well, no, actually, Santa actually does have a big belt buckle.
Yeah, that's pretty pimp.
In real life.
Yeah. Yeah, you met him?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's that fact.
Yeah.
I got something to tell you after the show's over. Even the blunderbuss with which pilgrims are identified was a symbol of quaintness. The blunderbuss was mainly used to control crowds. It wasn't a hunting rifle, but it looks out of date and fits the pilgrim stereotype.
Oh, that's that. I was sitting here like, I know this. What is this? And then I just realized it's that gun with the long barrel, and then it comes out to a wide cone at the end that you see from the cartoons of safaris in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what that is. And that's funny. All right, myth number 8. Pilgrims, Puritans, same thing. No! Though even presidents get this wrong, Ronald Reagan once referred to Puritan John Winthrop as a pilgrim. Pilgrims and Puritans were two different groups. The Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower and lived in Plymouth. Man, that time I did spit on my screen. Last week, Nate kept
spitting. I told you!
Last week, Nate kept spitting all over my screen. The Puritans arrived a decade later and settled in Boston. The Pilgrims welcomed heterogeneousness. Some so-called strangers came to America in search of riches. Others, so-called saints, came for religious reasons. The Puritans, in contrast, came over to America strictly in search of religious freedom, or, to be technically correct, they came over in order to be able to practice their religion freely. They did not welcome dissent. That we confuse Pilgrims and Puritans would have horrified both. Puritans considered the Pilgrims incurable utopians, while both shared the belief that the Church of England had become corrupt. Only the Pilgrims believed it was beyond redemption. They therefore chose the path of separatism. Puritans held out the hope the Church would reform.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
And myth number 10, Puritans hated fun. Not true. H.L. Mencken defined Puritanism as, quote, the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. Actually, the Puritans welcomed laughter and dressed in bright colors. Or to be precise, the middle and upper classes dressed in bright colors. Members of the lower classes were not permitted to indulge themselves. They dressed in dark clothes, but not black clothes, because we just debunked that myth. As Carl Degler long ago observed, the Sabbatarian, anti-liquor, and anti-sex attitudes usually attributed to the Puritans are a 19th century addition to the much more moderate and wholesome view of life's evils held by the early settlers of New England.
Proving once again that every time you try to characterize a culture through a negative statement, you are pretty much always wrong.
Or a general blanket stereotype.
Yeah.
So, all right, that is our top 10 myths about Thanksgiving. So the truth is, this podcast actually won't come out until tomorrow, being that we record Wednesday night. Some of you might not have known that, but we record Wednesday night and post Thursday.
Our pretend Thanksgiving meal was actually a bit early.
Quite a bit early.
about a day early.
Or more.
What?
I don't know.
Isn't it on a Thursday?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so you're getting this show on Thanksgiving.
That's right. So, by the time you get this, we imagine maybe, hopefully you'll have time to listen to this podcast.
Oh, very much hopefully so.
But if not, you might actually listen to it after Thanksgiving. But we're still going to give you, and this is actually one of David Letterman's top 10 lists. Yeah, this is a good one.
We've never done this before, but he's pretty funny, and we're having a holiday today, so...
that's right. And this is a really good one. Top 10 signs you've eaten too much at Thanksgiving dinner. You know what? I say we cue some music for this.
Okay, hold on just a second. I wasn't prepared for this.
We do things off the cuff around here at Geocentric. All
right, here we are. Here's the music.
All right. Number 10, hundreds of volunteers have started to stack sandbags around you.
Number 9, doctor tells you your weight would be perfect for a man 17 feet tall.
Number 8, you are responsible for a slight but measurable shift in the Earth's axis.
Number 7, right this minute, you're laughing up pie on the carpet.
Number 6, you decide to take a little nap and wake up in mid-July.
Number 5, world's fattest man sends you a telegram warning you to back off.
Number 4, CBS tells you to lose weight or else.
Number 3, getting off your couch requires help from the fire department.
Number 2, every escalator you step on immediately grinds to a halt.
And the number 1 sign that you've eaten too much on Thanksgiving is you're sweating gravy.
All right. Man, that's good stuff. You're sweating gravy. You ate good, boy.
Plus, you could use your sweat to put on your... Never mind.
That's sick.
That was
but
sick.
True.
What was that? You scared the crap out of me.
Here, need some gravy? Let me wring out my arm.
Is this another one of those RIAA fake Nates? Get out of here.
Come out.
Hey, get in here, Nate.
They don't even know what we're talking about, but that's all right.
Go back.
Don't really.
Go back and listen to
the real Nate is here again.
Five big mistakes.
The real Nate is back,
and then the one just after that.
In fact, listen to them all. Every episode you haven't listened to of ours, go listen to it. Tell us what you think.
Look, here's the thing. We're going to start to build up some inside jokes here. Okay, that's just what happens. There's going to be a geocentric culture. You're going to need to keep up with the times here. Now, before we let you go and enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving, because we don't want to keep you too long on this holiday of holidays that leads us so, so beautifully into the Christmas season. We're going to give you... What are you doing? Some new...
We're just going to tell you a couple of new CDs that's out. And then we're going to give you a cool song to check out to listen. Good kickoff for the holiday. So this is for the week of Tuesday, November 25th.
Correct, sir.
So why don't we... Cue some music.
Got it already. Here we go.
All right, we got Day and Age by The Killers, which I thought already came out, but I guess that was just the vinyl. Kanye West's new CD is out. 808s and Heartbreak, which has some cool new songs, but the one song that I heard is the one that he's trying to be like T-Pain. Wasn't quite interested in as much. It was not bad, though.
T-Pain also joined us on our show once.
He did. Do you remember the episode number on that one so they can check it out? You'll just have to go search for it, maybe.
Episode... That was our oil special. No, it wasn't our oil special.
No, it was way after that.
It was early.
It was like 5. Or no, it was after I got back.
It was after you got back?
It was like 7 or 8. I'm guessing 8.
It must have been 9.
My bet's on 8.
No, because you were gone for 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Well, then my bet is on...
9.
9.
It's 9.
Yeah, it's 9. That's gotta be it. Here's a much-awaited EP... That kind of goes with the Viva La Vida CD, and this is Prospects March by Coldplay. That one will be a cool one to check out. Barry Manilow, The Greatest Songs of the 80s.
That guy's old.
Fireman's new CD is Electric Arguments. Rush has a new Blu-ray and probably DVD, too, that came out from their Snakes and Arrows live tour.
Those guys
remember.
Are old.
Those guys are amazing, though. I like Rush. They're pretty cool. Luda has a new CD, Theater of the Mind.
And by Luda, do you mean the type of Chris?
Yes, I do. Trace Atkins' new CD is X, in parentheses, 10.
X10?
Yeah.
X in parentheses 10.
Which mean X 10. Is 10.
Yeah, as in it's 10.
Tom Jones' CD, 24 Hours. You can also buy the deluxe edition of Viva La Vida from Coldplay and get Prospects March with it. That's a pretty cool idea. Paramore, live CD, The Final Riot. Deluxe edition, which includes extra tracks from REM CD Murmur. This has extra tracks. White Zombie, Let Sleeping Corpses Lie. That's it. Another live CD.
What do you want me to say?
They're old. Road to Revolution live at Milton Keynes is the live Linkin Park CD, and that is the new music for this week. Check it out.
You just tried to brush a Linkin Park CD past me.
And that's the end of the new music. Moving on to the last song.
All right, I won't say anything this time. Next time you bring up a Linkin Park CD, I'm going to have your head. So, to get them out of our brains, we're going to move on to our new artist for the week that we're going to give you, who were kind enough to give you a non-DRM MP3. The artist is The Status. The
Check
song
them out.
Is Can You Hear Me? I believe. Wait.
Yes. The song is Can You Hear Me?
Sorry, no, no. I got confused about something else. The album is So This Is Progress from MySpace.com/TheStatus. So, next time you guys are on MySpace, go to The Status, check out their stuff.
Thank
their
them
CD.
For providing you with... Thank, yes, thank. Them for providing thank you with some DRM-free music and for giving you a free song. And we thank you guys at The Status.
Now
we
you're
thank,
overemphasizing on purpose.
We thank Trick Newbie for providing us with the music.
What the heck is up with Ethan not giving us a tech bite this week?
I don't know. We're gonna have to get on him about
just
that.
Kidding. For anybody who's wondering, he's still on the team.
He is.
He's on vacation.
Yeah, he's taking a couple weeks off, so don't worry about Ethan. He'll be back.
Yeah, quite so. So that's about all. So we're going to head off and eat our real Thanksgiving meals listening to The Status and the song Can You Hear Me? Here it is, Nate.
Later on. Sunshine coming through the windows and it's so bright. Taking things slow because we've got time. It's finally here. I finally feel alive. It's what I've waited for.
Shout from the mountains. This is about to change everything.